we're in chapter 27
of Acts.
And so what's been happening is the last few chapters, Paul had got arrested. Okay, the Jews, he went to Jerusalem to go pray and to teach and share the word of God. And they didn't like that very much. Just kind of like when Jesus was sharing the word of God, they didn't like that. And so they plotted against him to kill him, right? We saw that in chapter 24. They plotted against him to kill him. And his nephew let him know that there was this thing going on. So as a Roman citizen, the Romans couldn't just kill him. So they're allowing him to go and stand in front of the council to have his case heard. So this has been going on for a while now. I think they said it's about 2 years going on with all this happening. So Paul is at a point in his life where, you know, he's been criticized, ridiculed, beaten down, you know, and now he's been in prison. And now they're going to start exporting him, and he's going to start traveling. And we pick up in 27 here. And normally we wouldn't read the Bible verses all the way through. Like we do, we take them bit by bit. And then we just kind of go over what, you know, is being said. And, you know, we kind of teach on that. But today, we're going to read the whole chapter, 27. There's 44 verses, and we're going to read the whole thing because it's kind of a really cool story. And it'll tie into lessons in a storm, right? All of us have storms in our lives. Right now we have, you know, we got people moving from Mesa, right? Sometimes it might be a good thing. Sometimes you might think of it as a bad thing, you know, or sometimes we think, why is God moving me here? I got my friends and all this going on. And we've had the luxury to travel all around. We've lived in Alaska and Hawaii and California. So we've enjoyed our travels, and we've always made the best of that. And God has opened a lot of doors for us. So we look at things, and we can really take a look at Paul's life on everything that's happening right here in verse 27. And when storms come in our life, and things don't seem like they should work out as we planned or worked out like we hope they do, we're going to share with you some verses that hopefully you guys will be memorizing and putting in your brain and your heart, that you have a memorized. So when storms do arise, and we do face trials and tribulations like Paul is here, that we can take that with us, and that we can use that to strengthen us, that we can use it to strengthen and encourage others. So we'll start here, and that's going to carry over from what Gary taught last week. And verse number 1 here, chapter 27, we'll go through to 44. And it says, and when it was decided that we should sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustine regiment. So entering a ship of Adramyttium, we put to sea, meaning to sail along the coast of Asia. Aristarchus of Macedonium of Thessalonica was with us. And the next day we landed at Sidon, and Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him liberty to go to his friends and receive care. When he had put to sea from there, we sailed under the shelter of Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea, which is off Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. There the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing to Italy, and he put us on board. When we had sailed slowly many days and arrived with difficulty off Cnidus, the wind not permitting us to proceed, we sailed under the shelter of Crete off Salmone. Passing it with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens near the city of Lycia. So he's traveling, right? They're traveling through by boat, and he's being transported down so he can have his case heard. And you can see already they're not able to travel any further. There's winds. The wind's not permitting it. And so we'll continue here, verse 9. Now, when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous because a fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also our lives. So he's pretty much telling them, hey, we shouldn't go any further. But nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things Paul had spoken. And because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, the majority advised to set sail from there also, if by any means they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, opening toward the southwest and northwest, and winter there. So they're going to keep traveling through. They're in this boat. They're getting tossed around. And they just seem like they're not really getting very far. Paul's telling them we shouldn't go any further. And they decide that they're going to keep going. So verse 12, and because the harbor was not suitable for winter, verse 13, when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close to Crete. But not long after, a tempestuous headwind arose called Euroclydon. So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, we let her drive. And running under the shelter of an island called Clauda, we secured the skiff with difficulty. So they're still, here they are, they're still sailing away, and they're still having a lot of difficulty. When they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship and feared lest they should run aground on the Cytus sand. They struck sail and so were driven. And because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. On the third day they threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we had be saved was finally given up. And after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul, you must be brought before Caesar. And this is where he's being taken down there so he can plead his case, because the Jews were wanting to kill him. The Jews were angry with him because he was sharing the gospel. He was preaching about Jesus. And so they wanted to kill him, but because he's a Roman citizen, he was not able to be killed. So he wanted to go plead his case in front of Caesar. So all of this, they're taking, he's been in prison, he's been beaten up, there's all this stuff happening, and now they're taking him to go see Caesar, but he's going through this journey, right? How hard is it when we see things in our lives that don't go as planned, and we hit headwinds, and our ships are falling apart, and we're trying to tell people not to do this, and they do it anyways. So he's, getting ready to go down and see Caesar. So it says, verse 24 here, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told to me. So this angel came to him. Angel came to him at night, and now he's letting the guys know that it's going to be okay. However, we must run aground on a certain island. Now, when the 14th night had come, as we were driven up and down in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight the sailors sensed that they were drawing near some land. And they took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they took soundings again and found it to be 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped their anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, when they had let down the skiff into the sea under pretense of putting out anchors from the prow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the skiff and let it fall off. And as the day was about to dawn, Paul implored them all to take food, saying, today is the 14th day you have waited and counted without food and eaten nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take nourishment, for this is for your survival, since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you. And when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then they were all encouraged and also took food themselves. And in all we were 276 persons on the ship. So when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and threw out the wheat into the sea. When it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they observed a bay with a beach onto which they planned to run the ship if possible. and they let go the anchors and let them in the sea, meanwhile losing the rudder ropes, and they hoisted the mainsail to the wind and made for shore. But striking a place where two seas meet, they ran the ship aground, and the prow struck fast and remained immovable. But the stern was beaten and broken up by the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim away and escape. But the centurion, wanting to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard first and get to the land. And the rest, some on boards and some on parts of the ship, and so it was that they all escaped safely to the land. So he's trying to paint a picture of what's happening, and this happens to a lot of us in our lives, right? He's kind of instructing them, we shouldn't go this way, and he gets outvoted and they go anyway. So he's on this ship, 14 days, right, getting thrown around. They're scared, right? And how many people did they say there was? 276 persons on the ship. So knowing Paul, we know that he, was the Hebrew of Hebrews, like he says, right? He knew the Old Testament scripture probably better than anyone that was out there. And so he knew a lot of things that were promised to him. But now he's a Christian, right? Now he's proclaiming Christ. And what's nice is that this angel came to him at night, and not anyone was going to be hurt, right? Not one hair. So he's trying to encourage these people. And that's what we're called to do as Christians. We're called to encourage people, right? We're called to encourage our family. We're called to encourage our friends. We're called to encourage, people around us, our enemies even. And we do that by having faith. We do that by believing the word is true, right? The word that we have in our hands that we get to read every day. We believe that this is inerrant, that it has no errors, and that we should be living our life according to it. So we have that luxury. Like Paul, he's preaching, and I could just imagine, because I see when things don't go well for people, I see how they fall apart, right? We see how lives fall apart. We see how marriages get wrecked, right? We see how there's division in politics all over, unfortunately, and today. We see what social media has done, and we see all this division and anger. And here he is, he's still got to go see Caesar and plead his case. And we'll see later on in the other chapters how that works out. But he's still, I would be probably nervous and scared knowing all this, right? But still keeping the faith, which is good. And so we were trying to print out a few things for you, but TJ will put them up there. So what do you do? What is it that you do when things aren't going well for you? What are some of the things that you guys can do as young adults, as young Christians, that you can do to help the situation? Cry? Sometimes that does help. What do you think? You got anything? What do you think you can do when there's a situation coming up that you might not have an answer for? What do you got? Pray. That's a big one. Praying. Sometimes we pray as we cry. Yeah. Sometimes we pray, sometimes we cry, so it makes us pray. What about you, TJ? What do you think you can do when things are, when your whole world's falling apart around you? What are some of the things you can do to keep the faith? Worship music, that's always good, right? Praising God, worship. Knowing the word, right? Knowing the word of God and knowing scripture is very important for us. That's one thing that I learned when I was your guys' age was scripture, Bible memory verses, right? Because what happens when you're in a moment and you don't have a Bible available to you? Maybe your smartphone doesn't have internet connection, right? And you don't know, you can't get to the Google search. But if you have these verses memorized and you have them on your heart, you have them ready to go, it's going to be so much easier for you to find that peace in that moment. And I think that's why Paul, I think that's why he had peace, because he knew a lot of these scriptures that we're going to go over here. And I'll print them down and bring them next week so you guys can have them all. But a lot of the old scripture, Old Testament, like Psalms 46:1-3. right? These are Bible verses that I think you guys should really try to memorize. And we're going to try to do some Bible memory verses this year. So that way we can be more prepared when we find these storms that we're going to be in. Psalms 46, 1 through 3 says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. Right? God is our refuge. He's our strength. No matter, even though everything's falling apart around us, the sea is raging, the mountains are falling, He's our refuge, right? And we the more we spend in the Word of God, the more time we spend, the more we're going to have that refuge, the more we're going to have that. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run into it and are safe. Right? We read in the Bible that it says even the rocks are going to cry out, right? They're going to tremble. When Jesus returns, you know, even the demons, we've read through some of the other scriptures that we've taught on, even the demons tremble, right? When Jesus walks in, why are you here? Why are you here to torment us? Because they know who He is. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. It's a way that we can find peace. Solemn, right? David wrote a lot of psalms. He made a lot of mistakes in his life, just like every one of us. But he kept coming back to the Word. He kept coming back to the Scriptures over and over, right? That's why he said Jesus, that David was a man after God's own heart, right? He sinned. He committed, adultery, and we know that David was not a perfect person, but he continued over and over again to come back to the Word of God, to come back to God. Nehemiah 8:10 says, do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Isaiah 41:10, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Do not fear, do not be afraid. And it's hard right now, especially, like, do you guys read Facebook and the media and the TikTok and all that? Do you guys read up on any of that going on in the world today? No? Good. Good. I like that. Like, just what's going on out in the world, what we see with the riots and just everything going on. Right, and Pastor talked about that a couple weeks ago. He talked about how some people even at church are like, I gotta peel myself away because it's starting to consume me, and it does. And what's happening is it's driving fear in people's lives, right? If we continually watch this stuff over and over again, and we continually see the bad things happening over and over again, it creates fear. It creates animosity and stuff, and so. It does. It is hurtful. I agree with you. It's sad. It's sad to see that we live in a country that has so many freedoms and so many rights. And so we get to proclaim Jesus Christ, right, as our Lord and Savior. Do you know in other countries, if you have a Bible, you can be killed for that? If you were to mention the name of Jesus in other countries, they will kill you. They'll burn you to the stake. We have tremendous freedoms in this country. And it's hard because we are driven. We're being driven apart. Racial tensions happening. Social tensions are happening. Income inequality. All these things are happening, which is driving these stakes between us. But we have to realize that we're Christians, right? We're brothers and sisters in Christ. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter what race you are. It doesn't matter what continent you came from. When we accept Christ as our Savior, we are brothers and sisters. It was a great message. I would encourage you guys to listen to Pastor's message from today. It's just a great opportunity. How we're a temple, right? We accept Christ as our Savior. We accept Christ that He is our Lord and Savior. And we are a temple. We become like the temple that Solomon built, right? He built this grand temple for us, for God to be there for the people to worship, but we're a temple. And it says that in the Bible, that we're a temple. So we need to know that, like Isaiah 41:10, so do not fear, for I am with you. And Paul, I think one thing why Paul was able to overcome a lot of this is because knowing the Old Testament as good as he did, he was a Pharisee, right? And he tells us he was the Pharisee of Pharisees. He knew the Bible. He was persecuting Christians because that's what he thought he was supposed to do. And then on the way to Damascus, a great light comes, right? Knocks him down the ground. And Jesus asks, why are you persecuting me? And you know, Paul's like, who is this? Lord, who is this? And he knew. Jesus says, why are you persecuting me? So we get to take in times like Paul's going through right now, through these storms, and it's 14 days. Sometimes it could be 14 years. Sometimes it could be 14 months. It could be one day. It could be an hour. We don't know, but if we stay connected in the Word of God and we're staying in prayer and we're staying up on, you know, reading our Bible and Bible memory verses, we are going to be able to overcome a lot of these storms just like Paul did. We have Exodus 15:2. It says, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. This is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. Psalms 9:9-10. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Psalms 34:10. Those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Isaiah 26:3-4 says, those of steadfast mind you keep in peace because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord God you have an everlasting rock. These are promises that we get to see that if we continue to trust in the Lord, we get to continue to stand steadfast. He's our rock, right? Through all this trouble and tribulation, everything we see, we get to have that peace. Because right now there's a lot of people that need peace and they need love and they need compassion, right? Because we see so much anger and animosity and division. And it's going to be hard because it could it come here? Possibly it could. And what are we going to do? Are we going to be loving and kind? You know, how are we going to handle this? We got Psalms 34:17. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and rescues them from all their troubles. Isaiah 30:15. In repentance and rest in your salvation and quietness, and trust is your strength. So I want you guys, don't worry or fear, and find your strength in the Lord. That's kind of, as we go through the storms in our lives, it can be so easy to give in to the fear and the despair, but with him, we can find strength and look forward to wonderful things. Because why? Because he gives us hope, right? Because we have a hope because our God is alive. We serve a living God, right? Jesus died on the cross. He rose. We serve a living God. We don't serve a God of wood, an idol. We serve the God of the universe. So, and what we'll do, I'll print a bunch of these down for you, and I'd like to start doing some Bible memory verses, and hopefully when Wednesdays kick back up, I'm hoping that the way it looks like we're going to be able to start doing Wednesdays here in the next couple weeks. So if you guys would like, just let us know, and with the small group that we have right now, we can probably meet, not a problem. So let's just, and then we'll get these. I'd really like to encourage you guys that as everything's going on and within the news and the media and everything we see in our schools, and just to keep the faith, stay strong, read your Bible, look up these verses and memorize them and really put them in your heart. Have them ready to go. So we'll pray, and then I think I got to beat someone at ping pong today. It's been a while. Who wants to lose at ping pong? Okay. Dearly Father, Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity to learn from the people that you have instructed and the people you have just spoken to and been able to write it down for us so we can take this out with us in our lives, Lord, and be that light that we are called to be. We praise you, Father God, and we just ask that you protect the kids that are here today as they go out into the world, as they go out to learn, as they go out to school, and as they go out with their friends. Lord, I just ask for protection upon them and just help them to be the light in this lost world. Lord, we thank you and we praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen.